top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95, the big station, Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good afternoon. This is the midday news for today, Wednesday, May 8th, 2024.
Top of the hour.
I am Richie Farrell. In the headlines, Dowasco General Manager Bernard Etinoff said sewage service revenue was about $300,000 in 2023, but costs exceeded $4 million, highlighting the significant expenses the company incurred. In sports news, national football coach Ellington Sabin touted the next objective for Dominica's football team and its preparations for the match in Guatemala, carded for 5th June 2024,
wherever,
and the other for 9th June 2024 in Dominica.
On Q95,
Barbados opposition leader Godwin Friday reiterated his support for increasing the age of consent, saying that while 15 definitely is too low, a new age should be decided after consultation with the public. And porn star Stormy Daniels took the witness stand with heated testimony in Donald Trump's hush money trial on Tuesday. Described her alleged sexual encounter with Mr. Trump at a golf tournament in 2006. The news brought to you with the very kind compliments of Quartz Dominica Limited. We'll be right back after some words from our sponsor.
You've been putting off. Do it today with a loan of up to $20,000 from Quartz Ready Cash. No collateral needed. Flexible payment terms and fast approval. All you need is your ID, proof of address, job letter, payslip, and 2 references. Visit your nearest Quartz or Ready Cash location today or apply online at Quartz.com. Why wait? Get it done today at Quartz Ready Cash. We are ready when you are.
Conditions apply.
Welcome back. In an interview with Q95 Hot Seat host Matthias Pelletier this morning, Dowasco General Manager Bernard Etinoff revealed that the revenue generated from sewage services in 2023 was about $300,000. However, he stressed that this amount is insufficient to cover the maintenance costs of a system that requires up to $4 million annually. Etinoff acknowledged the crucial financial support provided by the government, including their contribution towards paying off the company's sewage system loan.
In 2013, for example, the revenue from sewage services was about $300,000 a year. Mm-hmm. But the expenses related to sewage alone, interest on the loan is $2 million. Maintenance cost is a high cost maintenance system of another $2+ million. How could $300,000+ maintain a system that you need to spend $4 million on? Somebody had to pay for it, and so the government had been paying those costs. I can tell you that the loan that we had for the sewage system has been repaid, so the cost we incur now is a little less than that. It's just over $2 million, equipment aging and all of that. So it's down to just over $2.7 million now, not for 4.5 anymore. You know, but we have had over the years to take some significant loans to expand water systems. We had Tropical Storm Erica, which devastated some systems. We had to repair those things. Government either gave us the money to do it as a grant or give us small loans as well to enable us to do those things. Hurricane Maria, when we were both making some gains from Erica, Hurricane Maria came, devastated all our water systems. The government gave us monies to replace some systems, albeit temporarily in some instances.
Etinoff also emphasized that Dowasco has secured grant funding from the United Kingdom government. This funding has been earmarked and is now materializing to support the implementation of the Water Sector Strategic Development Plan. The plan's primary objective is to enhance resilience within the water system.
Some grant funding from the UK that is earmarked now for Dowasco is now, you know, coming to fruition to undertake what we refer to as the Water Sector Strategic Development Plan, which is aimed at building resilience in the water systems to ensure that some of those vulnerable systems, you cannot do all. Well, what is earmarked for us right now is about $13.6 million, approximately $36 million. And we are well advanced in beginning the implementation of these projects. Well, we started works on this in 2019. We had a firm from Germany, a consulting firm from Germany, which assisted us in prioritizing the projects that needed to be upgraded and what needed to be done. Initially, we had 6 projects in mind. We thought we were going to be getting some more money than that, but this wasn't the case.
Bernard Etinoff, the general manager of Doasco. Today, the Dominica Youth Business Trust, DYBT, launched its new EU-funded project and the first of a 4-part stakeholder engagement exercise to foster a supportive network to empower youth towards stronger economic development. Speaking at the launch ceremony at the Prevo Cinemall Ballroom earlier today, Barbados Youth Business Trust, BYBT General Manager and Regional Coordinator, Mrs. Cardell Ferguson, gave a project overview which is expected to encompass 4 years. She says the project will foster entrepreneurial activities for vulnerable and at-risk young persons in marginalized communities.
The aim of it is to ensure that we are able to transform the overall sustainability of these young people and their communities. We want to make sure that our activities are able to harness the energies that our young persons are having so that they can contribute towards productive, active, and supportive contributions to our economic development in the region.
Mrs. Ferguson explained that the EU-funded project is running in 3 EU member countries, Dominica, St. Lucia, and Barbados.
This project is being undertaken in 3 countries in the Caribbean: Barbados, Dominica, and St. Lucia. Now, why those 3 countries? These countries are the 3 countries that are member states of the European Union. Lucky us, right? So, specifically, this project will seek to spur activities in vulnerable communities. How do we define those vulnerable communities? It's those communities that we see high unemployment among our young people, those communities where we have defiant behaviors, those communities where traditional support is not reaching the grassroots person. Okay? Those are the communities that we want to work in. Why? We believe that this project and the activities of this project will help these communities to reach higher potential and greater impact.
BYBT General Manager and Regional Coordinator, Mrs. Cardell Ferguson. This is Q95 News. Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrit says the government is diversifying Dominica's economic base with the ongoing projects on stream, and added that the time has come to increase the attractions in Dominica, acknowledging that more attractions is needed to be established apart from the usual nature walks and hikes.
I'll express the zeal. They have indicated to me and the government that they have already acquired a bigger ferry, and they intend to invest even more in bigger vessels, which means that we'll be able to transport more people into Dominica from Europe and from the Caribbean. And of course, with the construction of international airport. And this is why we're trying to increase the number of attractions in Dominica, to offer the tourists more than just the nature walk and the snorkeling and so on, so that you have a greater variety, a greater offering. And I think once we can have all those major investments in place, this is what we've been trying to use the CBI funds for, to finance sustainable projects and thereby create sustainable jobs.
Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrit, during the Domfest 2024 celebration this month, Acting Chief Cultural Officer Mr. Earlson Matthew announced that the Cultural Division will pay tribute to several individuals and groups for their significant contributions to promoting and preserving Dominica's culture. Matthew emphasized the importance of recognizing these contributions to ensure that the invaluable efforts of these individuals and groups in enriching the island's cultural heritage do not go unnoticed.
On Thursday, 9th May, the staff of the Cultural Division will be doing what has become an annual event and a new staple for Domfesta activities, our Team Culture Community Drive, where we honor some much-deserving individuals and groups, ensuring that their contributions do not go unnoticed. So throughout the day, we'll be making stops at the homes and workplaces of people like Brian Rat Shillingford, renowned keyboardist, Andy Carter for Carnival Masquerade, Richard Anthony, former steel band player, Ashraf Simon, actor, director, Emmanuel Luke, sensei builder, Gilchrist Bruno, also a sensei builder, Furnace Bellany for traditional culture, Lionel John, ballet drummer, and Rebellion Walter, ballet dancer. Stay tuned for live updates throughout the day on radio as well as the Cultural Division social media platforms.
And that was Acting Chief Cultural Officer Earlson Matthew. In anticipation of the upcoming Atlantic hurricane season, the Government of Canada and the Caribbean Disaster Emergency Management Agency, CIDEMA, have restated their commitment to collaborative efforts in responding to natural disasters in the Caribbean region. On May 2nd, Executive Director of CIDEMA, Elizabeth Riley, and High Commissioner of Canada, Her Excellency Lillian Chatterjee, officially signed a Memorandum of Understanding outlining the process for CIDEMA to request support from the Canadian Armed Forces. This support includes the movement of response teams and equipment to aid affected participating states as part of a regional response. The MOU, first announced by Prime Minister Justin Trudeau during the Canada CARICOM Summit in Ottawa in October 2023, aims to provide timely and targeted tactical support to the Caribbean region through the regional response mechanism. Commenting on the signing, CIDEMA's Executive Director, Elizabeth Riley, expressed gratitude to the Government of Canada for its ongoing support in bolstering disaster risk management in the region. She highlighted the importance of the MOU, particularly given the forecast for the 2024 Atlantic hurricane season, which predicts 23 named storms, 11 hurricanes, and 5 major hurricanes. Now, entrepreneur and pharmacist Anderson Jolly urges Dominican authorities to get serious about making marine travel accommodation, docking, and costing more convenient in efforts to take full advantage of revenues in the yachting sector. Speaking on Q95 FM radio yesterday, Mr. Jolly advised Dominica's leaders and tourism stakeholders to develop a more globally acceptable mindset toward tourists and a more friendly and innovative approach to business.
We're surrounded by two French islands, and I know that we're trying to keep Dominica safe and trying to keep Dominica, you know, as wholesome as pure. I'm going to tell you, you know, we visit the French islands quite often. The French islands welcome us in with open arms. We never worry about, you know, there's a little computer that you use to check in. It costs €8, and here it's a significant amount more. Here you could pay upwards of $100 or $200 to check in. So, I mean, we have to start opening up Dominica and making it probably updating ourselves if we want to attract visitors here. If we need to get more people into the country quicker and make them feel welcome.
Entrepreneur and pharmacist Anderson Jolly, interim chairman of Community-Based Rehabilitation, CBR, and the committee member of the St. Kitts and Nevis Association with Persons with Disabilities, SKNAPD, Dr. Glenville Liebert, explains the new model approach internationally recognized for addressing the concerns and challenges faced by persons with disabilities, PWDs, throughout all seeds territories like Dominica, St. Kitts, and Nevis. He explained that the CBR is a well-researched World Health Organization strategic framework aimed at getting PWDs integrated throughout the many facets of society. He spoke to Q95 News on Saturday.
People with disabilities have been Tagalong, Arlong. You know, people go up with the charity model of providing care, but we have moved from charity to now the human rights model. And the social model in between also integrates that concept. Yes, they need medical care, they need social care, but they have their human rights as individuals, and they should be able to choose. And the CBR strategic framework ensures that the human rights is part and parcel of any developmental process. When the UN Convention was being developed, that's when the CBR came into its own, and the CBR was developed as a strategy to implement the UN Convention, that once policymakers, you bring together policymakers, advocates, service providers, and the person with disability themselves around the table as an inclusive discussion collaborative framework. In that, you come afterwards, you are there, and they say nothing about us without us. So they're not tag along or afterthoughts, right? But they are part and parcel of the conceptualization and planning of any developmental process. And it's now called CBID, meaning community-based inclusive development. When you're designing a building, you got to get the person who's going to use the building as part of the planning process. You don't build it and say, oh, how can you get into this building? No, they're going to be there to look at the plans with you and see how it will fit into those plans. And that's what CBR, CBID is trying to accomplish.
Interim chairman of the Community-Based Rehabilitation Project and committee member of the SKNAPD, Dr. Glenville Liebert. In sports news, national football coach Ellington Sabin has announced the next objective for Dominica's football team, and that preparations are being made for Dominica's match in Guatemala, which is carded for 5th June 2024 and 9th June 2024, respectively, in Dominica. Now, on June 5th, Dominica will face off against the Guatemala national football team in Guatemala. And on 9th June, it is Dominica versus Jamaica's national football team in Dominica. Speaking to Q95 News on May 7th, Sabin said he is confident that his team will deliver a strong performance for the two matches.
Well, over the next month, we're going forward, we're going to prepare for the two games in June, on the 5th and the 9th of June, on the 5th of June against Guatemala in Guatemala, and on the 9th against Jamaica in Dominica. That's what's next. The DFA, I must say, is supporting the staff and the players very well. They have made, you know, friendly matches and other things affordable to the players so that we could go out and give the best result or get the best result as possible. I must say they're trying their best, they're improving in their efforts at ensuring for the best interest of the team.
National coach Ellington Sabin. Barbados opposition leader Godwin Friday has reiterated his support for increasing the age of consent, saying that while 15 definitely is too low, the new age should be decided after consultation with the public. Open quote, as to the exact age, that is something, of course, that can be discussed as well, end quote, Friday said, adding that his view, as well as that of his New Democratic Party and the public, is that the age should be increased. Open quote, if you look around the world, you will find that between 16 and 17 tends to be around what the higher level is, end quote, Friday said on a radio program, noting that some people have called for it to be 18 while others have said 21. Open quote, but this is something I believe that we must have some public discussion about, but definitely I agree 15 is too low and it should be raised, end quote, Friday said. The NDP has discussed this matter at length. You're tuned in with Q95 News. Porn star Stormy Daniels took the stand in Donald Trump's hush money trial on Tuesday and described her alleged sexual encounter with Mr. Trump at a golf tournament in 2006. But the star witness was repeatedly reprimanded by Judge Juan Mercan for her meandering answers. The BBC's Nada Tofik goes through the main moments of former adult film star's testimony in the courts.
Eagerly anticipated witness Stormy Daniels gets her day in court and shares explicit details that even the judge thinks go too far. The adult film star was animated on the stand and even playfully cracking jokes as she vividly described a 2006 meeting with Donald Trump at a celebrity golf tournament. She testified that Trump greeted her with silk pajamas and that he posed in bed before they had sex. an encounter he denies ever took place. But things got heated in court as the defense objected several times and then asked for a mistrial, arguing her salacious testimony was unduly and inappropriately prejudicial. The judge said a mistrial wasn't warranted, though some things were better left unsaid. But does her testimony do anything to prove the case against Trump? Stormy Daniels testified that she understood that Michael Cohen was representing Donald Trump when she agreed to stay silent in exchange for $130,000. She had no knowledge of whether business records were allegedly falsified to cover up the payment. But prosecutors hope her testimony shows why Trump was so keen to avoid a sex scandal in the days before the 2016 election.
That's the midday news. Here's a recap of our headlines. DOASCO General Manager Bernard Etinoff.
Our news.
He said sewage service revenue was about $300,000 in 2023, but costs exceeded $4 million, highlighting the significant expenses that the company incurs. In sports news, national football coach Ellington Sabin touted the next objective for Dominica's football team and its preparations for the match in Guatemala, carded for 5th June and the other for 9th June in Dominica.
As it happens,
Barbados opposition leader Godwin Fridays reiterated his support for increasing the age of consent, saying that while 15 definitely is too low, the new age should be decided after consultation with the general public. And porn star Stormy Daniels took the witness stand with heated testimony in Donald Trump's hush money trial on Tuesday and described her alleged sexual encounter with Mr. Trump at a golf tournament in 2006.
Happens wherever it happens, local, regional, and global.
The news brought to you with the very kind compliments of Quartz Dominica Limited. I am Richie Farrell.
Q, top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station.